let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A 2020 International Book Awards winning finalist in the spiritualism category, Soul Seeker: Reflections on a Spiritual Journey from Darkness to the Light by Perspectives, shares his reflections on his true story from constant pain and suicidal thoughts to healing, redemption, and spirituality. The author's reflections, shared through his prose, poetry, and photography, begin with him trapped in a deep depression resulting from a 5-year battle with constant pain from an autoimmune disorder. Feeling hopeless and powerless, he hits the darkest night of his soul and decides to end his life. But the book is not about suicide, it's about rather redemption. The book also serves as an inspirational guide for others seeking their purpose and meaning to life's existence. Perspectives is the pen name of a veteran international communication and public relations professional with nearly 50 years' experience who currently resides in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. In addition, he's a published journalist, author, poet, blogger, and cartoonist. He maintains a sense of anonymity so he can be candid and sincere in sharing his perspective on the spiritual journey he has undertaken in the hope that in some small way his reflections might help others. Perspectives, author of Soul Seeker, Reflections on a Spiritual Journey from Darkness to Light, is our guest on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us. What a remarkable story that's helping so many people, and we hope to touch many others today. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you, Rick, for having me. I'm glad to be here.
What prompted you to write this book? It must have been a profoundly personal spiritual experience. Take that, turn it into a book. And then the second part of that question, this unique blend that I mentioned of prose, poetry, and poetry as a format. First of all, why did you decide to share this story?
Well, it's an interesting thing because at first it was not, this was not intended to be a book. It wasn't intended to be a spiritual experience. It was just I was seeking an answer to the health problem that I was experiencing. What was frustrating was that I had this 5 years of this autoimmune disorder. And as, like most autoimmune disorders, it's an invisible disease, and it's very frustrating because you look fine on the outside, but on the inside, you're suffering and you have pain. I had constant pain 24/7, and it was for a period of 5 years going on six. And I was 66 years old at this point where I was extremely frustrated. I was kind of forced into retirement at this point. I had my own business, but I kind of closed it up because of the pain. I had reached a point where I was just trying to medicate myself. I had medications from the doctors. Finally, they diagnosed it as what it was, and I had symptoms of 4 autoimmune diseases, but I wasn't getting any relief. And so I began to over-medicate. I began to find any solution I could. I began to turn to alcohol. I turned to whatever I could, to drugs or anything, to try to kill the pain. And then I got to a point where I just figured the only solution I had was it was in a deep depression, and I decided that the only way out was going to be just kill myself. And I had decided that I was going to do it on a cruise to the Caribbean. And I thought it was I love the ocean, and I thought this was a great way to end my life, and it would be a good way to do it. But on the way down there, I suddenly, it's kind of ironic and kind of humorous that I was going to not kill myself on the way down. I was going to kill myself on the way back, but so not to ruin my wife's vacation, which I think it would have ruined her vacation no matter what.
Well,
but
yes,
when I got back, I suddenly got a respite, and I thought, well, must have been vitamin D, whatever. And I suddenly felt better. And I thought, it's vitamin D. It's the sunshine. This is what I got to do. I got to move. Got to move to the Caribbean. I got off the ship, and about a week later, it hit me right back, and it came all back, and it was in worse pain than I ever was. So I decided, you know, I just lost my chance of, you know, the final, what I should have done. So I decided what I was going to do is just, I was like, you know, I didn't want to do anything messy. So I figured what I would just do is drink myself to death. And I nearly succeeded, but I, thank God, didn't. And I woke up in a hospital bed with a near fatal level of alcohol. Anyway, when I woke up and I realized that, no, I didn't want to die after all. And so I went through a recovery program. And in through that recovery program, I went through some Eastern medicines, techniques of acupuncture. Yes. And body, mind, body, energy work, all sorts of different things. And I went through all sorts of things. And I learned meditation. And meditation was a very important part of it. But I also learned the power of prayer. And that was very important to me. And but in one of the sessions that I had, I was doing acupuncture and mind-body energy work, and where you your chakras are aligned and all. And I had a visionary experience where I had an out-of-body experience, and it shook me up to a point where I go into detail in the book about what happened. And when I came out of it, I asked the people in the room, was I asleep? Was that a dream? Was it a hallucination? What went on? And they said, nothing happened. You weren't asleep or anything. And there was nobody in the room. You just experienced it. And I couldn't understand, but it opened my mind, because I am a natural born skeptic. And so I said, well, I have to understand what. It opened my mind to something, that maybe there's something out there bigger than what I think. Because I left my belief in God behind, because when I went through this depression, I felt God wouldn't let anybody go through something like that. And so I suddenly started researching religions, philosophies, different New Age, all sorts of things. And I started to discover this. And so what I started to do was start to look at this and start to reflect on this. And I began to, I had created a Facebook page, and I started to put out photography that I hadn't been taking photos in decades, and I hadn't done poetry in decades, and suddenly I'm actually writing poetry again, which I hadn't done in years. The other factor that I was interesting was I used to be an artist, and I could no longer draw, and I was a cartoonist, and I couldn't draw, but suddenly the powers were coming back to me that I could draw again. And so I began drawing and things. And so anyway, as I started doing this Facebook page, I started to share my poetry, and I started to share my photography and my views of what was going on in my with me, and what I discovered as I went along. And soon enough, I had like 10,000 followers on Facebook.
Amazing.
And people were relating to me. And as I went along, I found that I had... periods of synchronicity. People were coming into my life that that suddenly were sharing the same views with me, that things were happening that were it wasn't just sheer coincidence, it was synchronicity. So as I developed, I suddenly realized that there were people out there that were sharing the same views. And so that's when I realized 1 year later, as it was, as turned out, in the 1 year period, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You don't have to come back anymore. The blood tests show that your disease is gone." And this, I attributed it through meditation, and one of the other factors that I did was that I started getting out of my head and started getting into helping other people. And the more I helped other
yes.
people, the more good things were coming into my life. And so, but giving service to others, I found that the more service and the more good things I put out there, the more good was coming into my life. And suddenly I realized that maybe there was something I could share with others. And so as I found out that that my road to this spiritual awakening, there was a book there that maybe that this book could help other people on their journeys.
Well, it definitely has, and you touched on so many elements of your life and this turnaround, this dramatic turnaround. Our guest on the program is Perspectus. His book is Soul Seeker, Reflections on a Spiritual Journey from Darkness to Light. The book is available at Amazon.com. You'll find it, writersbranding.com, all the usual places. His website, imperspectus.com. Information, a lot of great information there. Information, you can buy the book there as well. And we'll give you that throughout the program. And then, again, go to our website. You can find all the information and link on directly. Let's talk a little bit about... You decided to republish the book with a different ending, and now you're donating proceeds to a scholarship fund. Talk about that, the process that led you to republish.
Yeah, this is very interesting. When I was back in college many, many, many years ago, in fact, it's more than 50 years ago, I worked as a work-study program. And that means that I had to do work in the university. And what I did was I actually pushed a broom after school. And I reported to this custodian who was a custodian slash guard, security guard. And he would help me because I lived in an apartment in Boston. It was difficult to study during the exam periods. He would let me stay late in this one area, and so I could study late into after hours, and the building would be closed. I could stay late, and then when he was ready to lock up, he would let me leave. Well, it turns out that one night, when he was leaving, he told me, you know, it's time to leave, and usually I would walk out with him, and we'd walk out together, but this particular evening he went up, walked out on the floor where the chemistry lab was, and I walked out on another floor. And I went home and didn't think anything of it, but the next morning I heard that he had been murdered. And turned out that there was someone who was stealing exams in the lab, and he confronted him, and this particular student threw acid in his face and then beat him to death. And it was a savage murder. And then he dragged him down and hid the body by the boiler room. So, I was a very next, well, I guess I would say the next to last person to see him alive. So that really shook me as a student. And I went down the next day and talked to the detectives, and they didn't think they would be able to catch the young man. And as it turned out, 6 months later, he committed another brutal murder in Texas. Turned out that he was going to graduate school and, stole another keys for exams. And but this time he got caught. And so at that point, I realized, I said to myself, well, in Texas, he's been caught. Well, he's probably either going to be electrocuted or hung. But that's, you know, I closed the case in my mind.
Yes.
And figured, didn't think about it for another 50 years. So what turned out was then I went to my 50th alumni reunion, and I asked the alumni people, I said, you know, I'm wondering about, did they ever do anything for him, give him a plaque or a memorial, or did they do anything for his family? Or and I said, and could you also check and find out, I'm just curious, what happened to the man who killed him? Did they end up giving, you know, what his punishment was?
Yes.
Well, they got back to me and they said, sadly, they never did give him a memorial or even a plaque or And I don't think his family got anything. And I said, oh, that's sad. I'd like to do something. And then the second part of it was they said, you're not going to like this either. And I said, oh, what is it? And they said, well, he got 40 years in the for the murder. And he got out after 15 years. So he was set free on good behavior. And they said, we don't know what happened to him after that. And so I thought, how do you get out for killing two people and brutally?
Yes.
You know, so I being an ex-reporter, in one of my professional careers, I did a kind of a deep dive into it and decided to figure out what happened to him. So I did some research and found out the whole story. And turns out that he did confess to the murder in Boston, but they only tried him on the murder in Texas. And so there is no statute of limitations. So I thought, so I went dug a little deeper. And it turns out that he, through some loopholes, there was a law that had been passed in Texas that it was designed for lower level criminals, that's for rehabilitation purposes, that if you went to school and got a degree and all, you could end up getting out early. So he got two college degrees while he was in prison, and by the good behavior points that he got, he was able to get up for parole. And every time he went up for parole, the city that he committed the crime in would appear at the parole board. And I think they went seven times. And each time the town would show up and say, he is never to set foot. He's going to serve his complete 40 years because the savagery of the murder, whether he was mentally ill or at the time or not, we're going to make sure that he never sets foot in our town again. And so they decided they would always show up and never let him get out free. But there was another loophole where the parole board commissioners, former parole board commissioners, could be hired as parole board advisors. You could hire them and they could represent you.
Yes.
So apparently, I say apparently because I don't know for sure, but apparently the former parole board commissioner went and said, the town, has suffered enough and we don't think we need to have them come to the next hearing. And so they weren't invited and he got his parole.
Amazing.
And he never had a probation. He never had parole. And not only that, he got to leave Texas and come back to Massachusetts. And he got to live 20 minutes away from his home and 20 minutes away from the scene where he killed my boss. So this sent me to into a real deep darkness.
Yes.
A different kind of darkness that I was in than at the time. But it was the darkness of revenge and saying to myself, I want to see this man go back to jail. And as it turns out, Martin Luther King says, his expression is, I think it's, I've got it. Darkness does not, let me get the exact quote. It says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So what it turned out was I looked at the consequences of my actions, and that by putting a 78-year-old man back on trial, I would be putting his family and that they did no harm back into dark. So I'd be creating darkness for them, as well as my boss's family. They would have some consequences there on that end too. So what I decided was, I made a short story very long, but best thing to do was not to go after the bad part of that and trying to go after him, but rather to put a scholarship fund into place by the pro selling the proceeds of my book, rewrite the ending of my book, which, because really what it proved to me was that to stay in the light, keep him in the light, don't go back into the darkness. This way, doing something good for him is the way to do it. And by keeping this, his name will always be associated with goodness, because it'll be helping more poor, unfortunate people, poor, unfortunate students from South Boston to get scholarships. And also the profits of this book would go for a scholarship fund. So therefore, that's, you know, that's why I did that. And since I've done that, and interestingly, the very next day that I did that, I received unsolicited from my university a request from my university to say, would you like to start a scholarship fund? And so I know God is looking out and saying that's the right thing to do.
Exactly. So good came out of that. And
exactly.
Another important point of the book you're talking about is not backsliding. And you were on the verge of that. And you addressed that in the book Soul Seeker, Reflections on a Spiritual Journey from Darkness to the Light by Perspectus. Perspectus is website, by the way, imperspectus.com. Book available at Amazon, all the usual places, writersbranding.com as well. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Got a couple of minutes left in the program. Would you give us maybe three key points that Soul Seeker reveals about one's role and meaning within the universe as both a physical and spiritual being? I know it's difficult to do that in a couple of minutes, but give us something, because you do such an excellent job of talking about the journey that you went through. Give us some key points.
Well, a couple of things that I have learned in this process is being now, on focusing on the now,
yes.
That there's nothing you can do about the past, and there's nothing you can do about the future. The past has happened, so there's nothing you can do about it. And there's nothing you can do about the future because it hasn't happened yet. So all we can do is what we can do about is now, today. And so what I know is that things happen for a reason. And so that when darkness happens in our lives, there's a reason. We'll never find or know the true value of light if we didn't have darkness. And we don't, if we didn't have pain or trouble, we wouldn't truly appreciate joy. So that's one of the things I found. The other is connection. That we don't miss a chance to realize that we're connected to everything in this, on Mother Earth. We may take a chance to look up at the clear blue sky and marvel at His Majesty, that we stand barefoot in the grass or sand, grounding ourselves in the vibrations of the earth, and touch a tree and just know that that the life-sustaining oxygen that's emanating from that, from its limbs, and be mindful how everything and anything on this earth is all connected. So everything that we really need to not take for granted, that everything that we touch and breathe and eat and drink on this earth is all connected. And so we need to be mindful of it. And then finally, the third thing that I've gotten out of all of my journey is consciousness, that we are all souls and we are all connected. We are all connected to a universal cosmic soul, and that we're all souls that are, we're just inhabiting these human bodies. And if we're to evolve and ascend, our souls need to nurture, especially nurture the light of love, resonate with the frequencies of trust, respect, and compassion for others, and to grow with knowledge that gained from the unknown realms of the love of cosmos. And in truth, there is love. I started this journey brought in darkness, and it was brought on in illness and in pain. And I found my way to the light, and in doing so, I found that God's glory, compassion, and peace of mind. But I also found it that by helping others, I've helped myself, and that I think that's the key.
Well, and you do it in such a remarkable way, clear language, it's easy to read the wisdom you share at well-explained concepts. You mentioned you were a skeptic. So many people are skeptical, and you go through that. You went through that. You take us by the hand and walk us through that as a skeptic going through this out on the other side. It's such a remarkable job you've done in the book, Soul Seeker, Reflections on a Spiritual Journey from Darkness to the Light by Perspectus. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, writersbranding.com, and on his website, imperspectus.com. If you go to our website, you can link on directly to all of those and get information. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. So much
Thank
more
you,
we
Rick.
Could talk about, but we've covered the surface, and hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much.
It has been our pleasure. Soul Seeker, the name of the book. Perspectus, the author. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.